tromping across the preserve in her rubber boots. Swana Preserve Director Nell Larson points out the budding plants, the Baltic rush and water groundsel, which are native to wetland habitat, to the half-dozen reporters as the media group makes its way to the largest pond on the preserve and home to cranes, fowl, and frogs. It's also an important watering hole for the moose and elk that make their way across the preserve on their annual migration route. Named as director of the Swanner Eco Center earlier this year, Larson, among other things, is now tasked with protecting the preserve's 1,200 acres. Her most pressing concern is water, or rather the lack of it. How much water comes into the wetlands area, she says, depends on how much winter snowpack there is to shore up the flows, as well as the health of the underground aquifer, which also feeds the streams. It's something she has no control over, but plans to find out more. Working with the Division of Wildlife Resources, the Weber Basin Water Conservancy District, and the Snyderville Basin Water Reclamation District, Larson hopes that a water study can be done.
There are a lot of straws in the stream, and so a lot of different people are taking that water out to use it for their own needs, and they have the water rights to do so. But in this watershed, our water rights are over-allocated. So even if everybody was doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing, the stream could still dry up.
With some answers from this water study, she says she can begin advocating for a certain amount of water in the stream flows.
We know we are getting some groundwater from the soil that's seeping through and then comes to the surface in the nature preserve. We know we're getting some water from the deep aquifer that lies deep below the preserve. And we know that we're getting some surface flow from the streams. But we can't quantify how much is coming from which source yet. And so that's actually research that we're trying to fund at this point. Right now we're working with a USU faculty member in trying to get this funded and trying to quantify just that. How much water is coming from where? And then once we know that, we'll be able to manage more effectively. We'll know how much surface flow we need to ask for.
While the preserve does own water rights, she says she can't use them to maintain the in-stream flow. With a low snow winter and a dry spring, she doesn't want a repeat of the 2003 fish kill-off when East Canyon Creek dried up and hundreds of fish died.
That's the fear, that will happen again, because it absolutely could under our current conditions.
Another concern is when Canyon's golf course opens, which Larson believes will have an impact on the preserve's stream flows. Summit Water has filed a change use application before the state water engineer's office.
They're hoping to change their point of diversion for the water rights that they already own. And the water would then come out of East Canyon Creek and its tributaries, which would have a pretty direct impact. And so what we will be asking the state engineer to consider is just maintaining a base flow. So, for example, if the stream gets below a certain level, the diversion would have to stop until the stream goes back up. And that would keep it from drying up and having that major fish kill and all of those associated issues.
While the state engineer has considered the impact on local streams when considering a change use, given that Summit Water has some of the most senior water rights in the county, they own the rights to use it. A second long-term management concern, she says, is the increase of non-native plant species that are found on the preserve.
And these come in along our trails. You know, all of us carry them on our bike tires and our sneakers and our dog's fur. And they also come in along roads, anywhere there's been a disturbance. And so what we're trying to do is manage those weeds through a variety of techniques, including biocontrols, herbicide use, and then pulling the weeds with volunteers and some staff time.
If necessary, she says, she will spray and then reseed with a native seed mixture.
Certain species are next to impossible to get rid of without herbicide, unfortunately. Initially, when I started working on this project, I thought I don't want to use a drop of herbicide, but reality has set in, and in certain places and for certain species, we will use them. So we won't use them, you know, in our waterways, in our wet areas. We are really careful about their application and which chemicals we're using.
That's Swanner Eco Center Director Nell Larson. She says her number one priority is getting rid of the garlic mustard that showed up last summer, but she's most concerned about the Canadian thistle, which grows and spreads quickly, and there's no biocontrol for it. I'm Leslie Thatcher, KPCW News.